share it.
Okay, so Bible study. So let's start off with the Bible, huh? I'm going to be reading John 15. This may be familiar to you. We've been talking about it for quite some time, haven't we? All right, I am the true vine. This is in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Okay, so let's look at this. He says here, by this I am glorified.
Amen.
No. What does it say? By this my Father is glorified. Whoa. So, wow. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. You know, shouldn't that be branches? Shouldn't we bear a lot of branches? No, he says fruit. Fruit. And so prove to be my disciples. My disciples. Wow. What is this about? We bear fruit and not branches, and we are his disciples. And we're glorifying God if we bear fruit, not branches. Okay? Now, we've talked about pruning a lot, and most of us in here don't have vines. We don't grow grapes for a living. We don't see them all around us like they did back then. So we really don't know about pruning things. All right, so I had to do some studying to find out about pruning grapes. And one of the pieces of advice that they give is, when pruning grapes, you'll want to cut off as much of the old wood as possible. This will encourage the growth of new wood, which is where the fruit is produced. Wow. So what is old wood? What is it that God needs to remove from our lives so that we can continue to produce fruit for the kingdom of heaven?
The flesh.
The flesh.
Good, David.
David can teach my... He's right there on it. Where you go, David. That's right. Now, old wood is, and this is, what is the flesh? This is what the flesh is in the Bible. It's the self-centered pride. Self-centered pride. That's the flesh. When I say my flesh is, you know, in control, I'm talking about my self-centered pride. Okay? We want to produce more branches, not fruit. We want to produce more branches so that we can say, look at me. I have grown a lot of branches.
Ministers have to really be aware of that.
They all come from and are all dependent on me.
Yeah.
Aren't they beautiful? Look at all the leaves. Have I not done well? I am more productive than all the other branches. Give me glory. Give me praise. Honor me.
Yeah, that is pride, isn't it?
So, what is this saying in regards to us as people? Okay? Well, the branches, you can think of the branches as the people that we influence. As the people that we're discipling sometimes, that we're mentoring, or just the people that we influence. We may only have influence over a person for a day or an hour, but we're influencing them. And how are we influencing them? Okay? They may be non-Christians or they may be believers. Maybe they are influenced by our words, our music, our beliefs, or our example. You don't have to talk always to influence someone. Maybe they are drawn to us because of our gifts to the Holy Spirit. Maybe those gifts of the Holy Spirit draw them. Maybe they are drawn to the love, joy, the peace, the other fruits that we have. But instead of allowing God to graft them into the vine, we want to keep them attached to us.
Ooh, that's good.
So that we can get the glory, the praise, the honor. Look what I've done in your life. Look what I've done for you.
That way, you don't feel, you know it's God that gives the increase and takes care of
them. It's God that gives the increase.
No matter what they do, it won't bother you.
That's right.
You just keep praying and loving them. Because when you're involved, if they do something wrong, we feel responsible. Why did they do that? I did this for them and I did that for them. But when you just love them, mm-hmm. My first thing, just love them, let the good come out and let God take care of everything. Just be obedient to what He tells you to do. We can do that. We can. You do something for somebody, and do something for somebody, and do something for somebody, and love them and pray for them. And God's telling you to still do it. But we want to do. Why did they hurt me like that? And it's nothing to do with us.
And we get all bent out of shape when they're not grateful to us.
I know.
They don't even thank us for it. Come on now. You know, as if we're not doing it for God's glory. For God's glory, right? Well, let me ask you something. Am I a terrific Bible teacher? Can I impress people with my knowledge of the Bible? Is that what attracts people to me? And when they are attracted to me and come to me, do I point them on to the God who created them and me? Or do I claim them as my own followers? Well, I hope that I point people toward Christ, okay? But the thought is with me that they may be too much me in my teaching and not enough God. I struggle with that. You know, when I prepare a lesson and I do something, is there too much Ray in it and not enough God in it, you know? And maybe, you know, y'all have those same struggles. Is there too much you in it and not enough God, you know? So I want to be careful that I am not exercising that I fail to exercise a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control. I need to control myself.
Yes.
Myself has gotten out of control. My flesh, as David would say, that's the King James way of saying it. Myself is out of control. I need to get myself under control. I need to die to self and live to Christ. Right? So...
teachers, parents have to really be careful about that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can really get able to control somebody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Romans 2, 8 and 9 says, "But to those who act from selfish ambition and who disobey the truth, but who obey unrighteousness, wrath and anger, there will be affliction and distress for every human being who does evil, of the Jew first and of the Greek." Now, that Greek word that's translated selfish ambition, that means to place self-interest ahead of what the Lord declares right, what is good for others.
What scripture is
that? That's Romans 2, 8 and 9. Yeah. It says, if I put my self-interest ahead of what the Lord wants me to do, what He says is right. Well, that's not going to be honored to Him, is it? It's not going to be honored to Him.
So the okay? word contentious means what you just said.
Well, the Greek word for selfish ambition, I think the King James has a different...
Contentious.
Yeah, contentious. That's right. That's
yeah,
contentious doesn't really really do it there, but it's really a selfish ambition. It's just like people who are contending for political office or political power is where that comes from. So... I wanted to read a couple of verses here. It says, "Likewise also the women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control." Okay? But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant. Okay? So I don't want to be proud or arrogant about what the Lord has shown me. I want to be humble and say, give him the glory. Give him the glory. God always desires the glory. He always deserves the glory. I always want to give him the glory. It says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Is myself crucified? I have to ask myself, is myself crucified? Mm-hmm. Is it dead?
Is that kind of like taking up your cross daily? Is that part
exactly,
of it?
Exactly.
You know, sometimes it's hard to put your finger on that.
Am I still enslaved to what myself wants?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what he's talking about here. I got to put off the old self. It says in Ephesians 4, it says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. True righteousness and holiness is God's.
Amen. Oh,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And if we got any, it came from him.
Amen.
Right? So what are we bragging about? What am I bragging about? I don't have anything to brag about, do I? I can only brag on God.
Amen.
I can only boast in God and what God has done through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. Because that's all I got. So, time is short today, but I wanted you to understand this is something that he's talking about when he prunes. You want to go in there, and I showed you some of the photos of the vine.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing to me was, remember, the vine, grapevine that I was used to was just grew everywhere. It just, you know, and it had not been pruned. It had not been cut back. But you see the ones that really produce the fruits, the big fruits, are the ones that come up, and every year they go and they cut them back. They cut off the old wood. They cut off the shoots that come off. They have a special name for them. I forgot what the name was. But all the shoots that come up, all right? And I was able to do this because I was
proof.
Huh?
Suckers.
Yeah, suckers.
Suckers, what they do, they suck the energy.
There's a... I was pruning my neighbor's yard one time, and one of the things was that there's this, I don't know, tree or bush or comes up. It comes up, and it came up about this high. And every year I'd cut it back that high. And every year I'd come out and it would be way up there. It would produce these vines or these branches that would go way high over my head. And so I would see it up there, and I would cut it back every year. Same thing with mimosa. You can come in there, and you can cut it back. You come back the next year, and the thing grows feet, tens of feet, in just a season. You know, and so that's the way the grapevines are. And you have to get out there, and you have to cut them every year, prune them back. And by doing that, you're actually going to cause the grapevine to produce more fruit.
Yeah.
The branch will produce more fruit because it's not having to support a branch. Okay, a sucker.
Mm-hmm.
That's how monkey grass is. A friend of mine told me, he said, you cut it low, and it comes back, the next year it comes back beautiful.
Right.
Beautiful.
So, anyway.
Not right right you.
Let us remember then to give God the glory.
Yeah.
He deserves the glory in all things. If we got anything good this morning, if you got anything good this morning, it came from him.
That's right.
Amen.
It came from him. I'm just a pot. He's the source, you know. Really, he deserves the glory.
You
don't have to thank me. Just thank him, you know. If you got anything good. If you didn't get anything good, say, well, Ray was doing his self thing,
yeah.
You know.
Well, he raised you up as a teacher.
Yeah.
So it all comes from God.
It's all from God. So anyway. Father, we thank you so much for this food. We thank you for being with us today and giving us our health, giving us the wealth, and giving us the privilege of living in this nation, Father, where we can worship God freely. We can read the Bible. We can buy Bibles and talk about it and not be afraid of someone coming in and hauling us off to jail. We thank you for that, Father. Be with everyone who preaches the Word of God. May they speak truth, and they speak it with conviction, Father, because it is truth. Thank you, Father. Bless this food. Bless our time together. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.